Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Mark, we've spent so much time talking, both you and I, and in American medicine about how we can improve the health care of people who have diabetes, both preventing it before they get it, and once they get it, decreasing complications. And I'm on my high horse this week. I've been talking with lots of people about e-cigarettes, which I'm not sure that you know anything about them. I hope you don't, because if you do, it's probably because they've been so heavily promoted, but they're just this crazy new nicotine delivery system, and you know the diabetics are particularly prone, I think, to some of the complications from them. But you've picked a poem this week that does not talk about e-cigarettes. It talks about exercise. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, 2013, volume 369, pages 145 through 154. It reminds us that exercise is sort of the great panacea. It's being increasingly promoted as part of a therapeutic regimen for almost everything, but certainly for diabetes. In addition to its cardiovascular benefits, exercise is thought to improve glycemic control. The beneficial effect on glycemic control is thought to largely be a result of increased tissue sensitivity to insulin. In the heart, there are several randomized controlled trials, some of them quite large, showing that exercise improves cardiovascular risk factors, specifically dyslipidemia, blood pressure, and body composition, specifically in patients with type 2 diabetes. However, there really haven't been any clinical trials to date that have demonstrated a reduction in major cardiovascular endpoints or mortality. Exercise has both the short-term and long-term effects on metabolism in both diabetic and non-diabetic patients. This particular study asks, does an intensive lifestyle intervention, so it's intensive, meaning that not all patients are going to be accepting of this, does an intensive lifestyle intervention focused on weight loss and exercise improve outcomes in patients with diabetes? Mark, they say outcomes. I know that you're a POEM guy. Hopefully they're looking at patient-oriented outcomes. What did they find?
Yeah, this was the largest study to date looking at intensive lifestyle interventions and really looking at the outcomes that matter in terms of cardiovascular events, hospitalizations, all-cause mortality, cardiovascular mortality, that kind of thing. So they had over 5,000 adults, 45 to 75. They all had type 2 diabetes, and they had to have a BMI of at least 25 kilograms per meter squared. And actually, the average was, I think, 36 kilograms per meter squared, so pretty big group. They were randomized to one of two options. Half got an intensive lifestyle intervention, so that meant they had weekly visits for group counseling, individual counseling. They were counseled about a calorie-reducing diet and exercise. The goal was that they lost at least 7% of their weight and that they exercised at least 175 minutes per week. So that's a pretty substantial amount of exercise. You know, about 30 minutes six times a week would get you there. The other half only got support and education, which was three group sessions per year for 4 years and then one session per year after that. Everybody had to have decent control of their glycohemoglobin, decent blood pressure, triglycerides under 600, and they had to be okay to exercise. The group had an average age of 59 years, 40% were men, and the groups were similar at the beginning of the study. The patients and their physicians weren't blinded to the assignment, obviously, but the people who adjudicated the outcomes were, so that's as well as you can do with a study of this kind. So after a year, the people in the intervention group had lost more weight. They'd lost 8 more kilograms. They had a better reduction in waist circumference. They had a better reduction by 0.6% in their glycated hemoglobin and a better fitness level based on how many METs they could achieve. So it had some impact, definitely a positive impact, about 18 pounds, you know, 3 inches off the waist, and a little bit of reduction in hemoglobin and improved fitness. So unfortunately, over time, those differences between the intervention group and the placebo or control group diminished, and the people in the control group showed some gradual improvement in these parameters. So over time, they kind of closed the gap. Ultimately, at the end of the study, there was no difference in key clinical outcomes like all-cause mortality or a composite of various cardiovascular outcomes. If you looked at all the potential outcomes, most of them had a relative risk less than one, which meant favoring the intervention, but none of those were statistically significant. So one benefit for those who did have an intensive lifestyle intervention was that they had lower rates of having to use a statin, blood pressure medicine, or insulin than those in the control group. So that was a benefit to them. But overall, this really large, well-designed trial that had adequate power to detect about an 18% relative risk reduction didn't find statistically significant improvements in these outcomes.
Boy, that's
depressing, isn't it?
These guys worked really hard for a year. Decreased weight,
yeah.
Increased hemoglobin, yeah. Increased fitness. And they were, I mean, it's the average weight was 222 pounds. These were big people.
Yeah.
You know, exercising for 30 minutes six times a week, that's quite a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did not, I mean, there were, you know, again, there were some, a lot of trends toward benefit, a lot of, you know, definitely reduction in medication use. And I've started, as I was looking at it, starting to think, you know, I wonder, you know, if taking less antihypertensives, less statins, maybe that had some impact on the mortality benefit. If there is a benefit to using those drugs, but they didn't have the indication anymore, so that's probably not the case.
Right,
but,
right. I'm wondering, so the million-dollar question here is, you know, certainly exercise isn't doing any of these people any harm, but I'm wondering
right.
how hard we should push in a 220-pound person who isn't inclined to exercise anyways. You know, we have been very aggressive in pushing these folks to exercise. Is this suggesting that we should back off a little?
Well, we've been, this is looking at a fairly limited range of outcomes, too. It isn't looking at psychological outcomes, quality of life. It isn't looking at joint outcomes, things like that. So, you know, there are other outcomes. There were some trends toward benefit. You're right. If we were talking about a drug, I'd say it doesn't work. If we're talking about an expensive drug, I'd be saying, yeah, forget it. Don't use that. So, it's very hard to overcome my inherent bias in favor of exercise and movement, and yet this certainly puts a bit of a damper on our ability to get real enthusiastic about concrete, you know, outcome, you know, hard outcome kind of benefits.
Talk with you next week.
All right, sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.